Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor David Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, tonight I want to jump into the Word of God very quickly, because then we're gonna spend a little time in the altar. But I want to talk to you from the subject, discouraged, not defeated. Discouraged, not defeated. And the reason that I've titled this in that way is because a lot of times discouragement feels like defeat. And because it feels like defeat, we begin to inhabit the identity of a defeated person. It's okay to be discouraged, but you are not defeated. It's okay to feel the weight of a situation. It's okay to walk through a valley, but just be reminded that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because you're not defeated. Why are you not defeated? Because he's not defeated. Discouraged, not defeated. And I'm going to take you to Psalm chapter 42 here in just a moment, because I know that there are people in the room and watching online, and you came in tonight heavy because the season has been heavy. And it's not just a day, it's not the kind of heaviness that is fixed by a good night's sleep. It's hung on. It's been difficult. There are layers to what you're feeling and layers to what you're walking through. And yet, we can never, ever, ever look at our situation and then look at the Word of God and say, yeah, but. Yeah, well, okay, well, thanks, David. It's not David. If it was David, you could say, yeah, thanks, David. But if it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the inspired Word of God, his authoritative revelation of himself, then that ought to reframe and that ought to reposition the way that we're walking through our situation. Because it's authoritative means we have the responsibility, if we are children of God, of coming under its authority, and that includes the way we're processing our situation. We don't get a claim and identity that the Word of God doesn't give us. You don't get one. You don't get that vote. You don't get a claim defeat when the Word of God says that's not where you live. You don't let it get discouragement morph into something that it should never be, which means you have to confront the way you're feeling with the Word of God. This is so powerful when you go to Psalm 42, because the psalmist doesn't pretend everything is okay. So look at this, Psalm 42. We're going to read the whole passage real quick. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from Mount Meriz, I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night, I sing his songs. Praying to God who gives me life. Oh, God, my rock. I cry. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff. Where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. This is a powerful, powerful psalm because of what it holds in tension. It is not just David saying, why am I discouraged? Here's all the reasons I shouldn't be discouraged. It is David simultaneously saying, here's all the reasons I'm discouraged. Why am I discouraged? That's an interesting combination. And yet, the psalmist is incredibly instructive in this psalm because we're going to read it backwards. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the way Hebrew is structured, it doesn't read top to bottom. A lot of it is circular, especially in the Psalms, obviously poetic language. So the psalmist is making a holistic point, and at some points, if you're reading a psalm top to bottom, it's not actually in order of like a thought process. It's not an argument being built necessarily in the way that we might think about that, like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's the whole thing. So there's some value in taking this psalm piece by piece because David gives us six principles for dealing with discouragement. Six principles that if you will do them, if you will embrace them, I promise you it'll make a massive difference. Okay, first principle. Bring your questions to God. Oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? That's a big question right there. Now, if we took a poll in the room, and we would say, has God forgotten David? Yes or no? I think we would get almost 100% of people to say, no, he hasn't forgotten him. I actually think David, if he were in the room, would raise his hand. Which tells you what? He knows it up here, but he doesn't feel it in here. Have you ever known something? You know the truth, but you just don't feel it. God, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? He's going to tell us he's got people persecuting him. He's got people saying things about him. He's got people throwing rocks at him. He's got all of that going on. And his question is, God, why are you letting that happen? God, why are you letting this go on in my life? Why? It feels like you've forgotten. I know you haven't, but it feels like you've forgotten. Why does it feel that way, Lord? Why does it feel that way to me right now? Some of you, you know that question. And I want to tell you something right now. God can handle your questions. God's not intimidated by your questions. God's not freaked out by your fear. He's not messed over when you come to him and go, I don't understand why this is going on. The problem is a lot of times we are not willing to be honest in the presence of the Lord. And David is demonstrating a holy honesty to say, God, I don't understand. And here's the good news. What he does is instead of taking his questions to his neighbor and instead of taking his questions to his, you know, to the captain of the guard or whoever, what is he doing? He's taking his questions to the best possible source. He's taking them to God. And when he takes them to God, he's not pretending nothing is wrong. He's not pretending he doesn't feel this way. He's not pretending he doesn't wonder why it's happening. He's honest. Some of you are discouraged. Some of you are wondering what's going on, but you haven't poured out your heart to God in prayer. Can I tell you? David is giving you a picture of how to do that well. One of the best things you could do is to say, God, I haven't said how I'm feeling to you, and I'm pretty sure it's not right, and I know it's not true, and yet I have to tell you what's going on in my heart right now because I need your help. He's not just venting to the Lord. David knows he's off. He knows he shouldn't feel this way. He knows what he's feeling doesn't line up with the word of God, but he's saying, God, I have to express it to you. I have to tell you what's going on. And I'm gonna just let you in on something. You have to do the same thing. You have to do the same thing. If you're gonna deal with your discouragement and it's gonna actually be dealt with, there's gotta come a point where you level with the Lord and you say, God, I'm struggling here. God, I'm tired. God, I'm worn out. God, I don't know how I'm gonna make it through this next season. And here's the thing, when you do that, there's something that happens in your heart, and it's really good. It's really good. So he first starts by bringing his questions to God, but then he anchors himself in God's love. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love on me. Unfailing love means this, that God's love isn't fickle or fragile. Are you thankful for that? I'm thankful that God doesn't wake up one day and go, oh, yeah, I'm kind of tired of this whole thing. You mess up a lot. Because none of us would survive that litmus test. None of us. God's love isn't fickle. It's unfailing. God's love isn't fragile. You can't break it. He doesn't love you more today than he loved you yesterday. He loves you the same tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. He couldn't love you anymore, and he couldn't love you any less because his love is unfailing. It's boundless for his children. And yet, there has to be a reminder in your heart. You have to constantly go to the word of God to say, God, I know this is true. Because here's the thing. It's great to bring your questions to God, but if you don't then follow up your questions by reminding yourself of the truth, then you lock yourself out from the answers that God would want to give you. Because the answers to your questions are always going to be rooted in the truth of his word. They're always going to be rooted in the truth of his word. And his word is rooted where? His word is rooted in his character. So you have to not just go to his word, but then you have to then back up the truck to the character and the nature of Almighty God, because that's what his word is testifying to. And you have to say, God, I not only know your word says it, I know who you are. I've experienced your unfailing love. I've experienced your never giving up, never stopping, always ready to give me a big hug, always ready to come to my rescue love. I've experienced it. You've got to anchor your life in his love. Here's the thing. Discouragement whispers you're abandoned. God's love shouts, no, you're not. He promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. My faithfulness is great. That's the God who cares about you. But you have to ground yourself. You have to anchor yourself in his love, which means you have to anchor yourself in his character. Number three, sing. This is so good, especially at night. Sing, especially at night. Some of y'all, we just did that. Like, it's nighttime and we're singing. Okay. But each day, the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night, I sing his songs. I love that. So when we were proofreading my notes, one of the guys who helps me goes, sing especially at night? It's like, yeah, you don't do that? That's so normal. It's like, it's a really normal thing to do. Christians do a lot of really abnormal things, by the way, which is good. I don't want to be like everybody else. If you do what everybody else does, you'll get what everybody else gets. I don't want whatever else gets. I don't want that. I want what God's word says I get. I mean, call me crazy. I serve the God of the universe. Like, I would like to operate on his terms, not on the world's terms. I would like to operate on his terms, not on my terms. His terms are way better than my terms. So, sing. Do what other people don't do. So, why does the psalmist say? Because this is incredibly intentional language. Sing, especially at night. Night is when discouragement gets loud. Have you ever noticed that? Everything is worse at night. Everything is worse at night. You're tired at night. You're worn out at night. The kids are louder and have to be put to bed at night. Every night. Every night, I have to put my kids to bed. And every night, they're surprised. Bed? I don't want to go to bed. We did this last night. We did it the night before. And newsflash, we're going to do it tomorrow night too. Everything's worse at night. Your fears get bigger at night. Your anxiety gets greater at night. All of a sudden, you start replaying conversations from the day. I'm always smarter on the replay than I am in real time. Like, I'm like, well, Becky, oh my goodness. This has really happened. This is so sad. But like, Becky has come back in our master bedroom closet and she was like, are you on the phone? I'm like, no. Who are you talking to? I am verbally processing. AKA, I am replaying a conversation and I'm thinking of all the really smart things I should have said. It's like, oh, you think that? No. I know you guys do this. I know this. I'm not the only crazy person here. So this is why you have to do something different than everybody else does at night. And here's the thing. We are our own worst enemies. Because we come home at night and not only do we replay the defeats of the day, our greatest hits, not only do we do that, but then what do? We doom scroll social media. We binge watch Netflix. We just turn on the TV and zone out. I hate to tell you, that ain't helping you. We are increasing our own anxiety. We're making it worse. You watch the news, you'll be more discouraged. I'm just telling you, it's not like an encouragement factory. Like, that's not why they make the news. It's like, here's the best things that happened today. Like, it's the opposite. And so when you're discouraged, what you have to do is you have to do something different than what the world does. That's why when you get home, you ought to fill your heart and your house with worship. You ought to turn on something that lifts your eyes above your situation and get your eyes off all the things that should discourage you, could discourage you, and say, God, I'm getting my eyes on you. I'm lifting my eyes out of the storm. Sing, especially at night. So this is great. Worship does what discouragement hates. It puts truth in your mouth. Put truth in your mouth. Put truth in your mouth. Okay. Number four, preach to yourself. Psalm 42:5. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior. What's David doing? He's doing what I do in my master bedroom closet. Oh, I feel so good. Me and the psalmist, we're on the same wavelength. Preach to yourself. Talk to yourself. Some of you, your situation and your exhaustion from your situation is actually not exhaustion from what happened. It's exhaustion from what you are telling yourself about what happened. It is. You're making it worse. You're reliving it. You're replaying it. You're writing that. You're letting it write the narrative again and again and again. Because discouragement will talk to you. There is a narrative to discouragement. There's a storyline to discouragement. And if you let it, it'll run you. David Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book, Spiritual Depression, writes this: Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking. Who's talking to you? Yourself is talking to you. Now, this man's treatment in Psalm 42, which we were looking at, was this. Instead of allowing this self to talk to him, he started talking to himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, he asked. His soul had been depressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. Some of you need to do that tonight. Soul, okay, you be quiet. I got some things to say. And here's where you could start. I think you can rephrase, it's not inspired, but it's built off the inspiration in scripture. I personally rephrased a passage from Romans 8. Listen, self, if God is for you, who can be against you? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for you, how will he not also with him graciously give you all things? Who shall bring any charge against you as God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who can condemn me? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for you. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? No one. Put your hope in God. Preach to yourself. Preach to yourself. The team can come up. Preach to yourself. Okay, number five. Remember worship, or worship with God's people. I rewrote this point. That's why I dropped remember. But worship with God's people. He says, I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading the great procession to the house of God, singing for joy, giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. What is he thinking about? He's going back into his mind about the times where he, with all of the other believers, gathered together to lift praise to God. Do you know how powerful what we're doing right now is against discouragement? This is death to discouragement. Some of you are like, well, I'm here and I still feel discouraged. It's death to that discouragement. Here's the thing. Just because you don't feel it right now doesn't mean God isn't working right now. One of the most powerful antidotes to being down is getting around people who are up. And yet we are prone to isolate ourselves because discouragement isolates. Don't stay away. Draw close. Now, number six, thirst for God himself. This is back to the top, the very top of the psalm. And this is important. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I go to stand before him? Would you stand right now? Before David talks about the problem, he positions the problem in the context of what he needs most. You notice that? Before he vents to God, before he asks his questions, before he tells God his problems, what does he say? God, I recognize that what I need more than this situation fixed, what I need more than the problem to evaporate, I need you. You need him.